Jeff's feeling was that I haven't really been holding up my end of the bargain. He told me, you better get out there. Spend some time teaching from the Word or you're going to forget how. And we'll find out tonight. I probably have. I hope to keep this short because we do have communion in a few minutes. Tonight I want to read something from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful to you, God, because of everything that we have and everything that we ever will have, ever will be, Lord, comes from you. Your word says that every good gift comes from above. And Lord, we recognize that anything and everything that we have, it comes from you, Lord. And we give you thanks. Most of all, Lord, we give you thanks not just for what we have here, but what we will have one day when we are with you in heaven. For you've told us that we will rule with you as sons and daughters, Lord. We thank you for the promise and the hope that you hold out that is ours in Christ Jesus. And we ask now, Lord, that you would bless our time together in the study of your word. In Christ's name, amen. Well, Paul goes on to write in verse 7, it is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my hearts. For whether I am in chains for defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And in this, my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. That really sums up a lot about how I feel as Jeff and I found ourselves going into this and not really knowing what to expect. I mean, on one hand, your worst fear is that we'll show up and no one will be here. And you think, okay, what does that mean? If nobody shows up, what does that mean, Lord? Have we missed you? Did we not see the leading of your Spirit? You know, and you try to think, well, no, okay, if nobody comes, we still, you know, this is what we're supposed to do. And we're going to do it, even if it's just you and me looking at each other. Hopefully our wives too, but you know, they have their own will also. So there's a part of you that goes, you know, they may pull up and see no one's here and just decide to take off and join another PT Cruiser group or something. So, but when you see other believers coming, and over the last few weeks as we've shared, and you guys have shared a couple weeks ago, Jeff asked many to kind of just share what was on their heart as we sat in a big circle one Sunday evening praying and reading God's word, it was just so evident that so many of us had the same feeling in our hearts and the same longing in our souls. And it's like God just kind of knew that and just kind of, you know, cast his little net over just a group of people and just pulled us up from the midst of all these other fish and just said, this is my catch. This is what I'm... I'm all done. That's the Lord's way of saying. And that was all. Thank you very much. Remembering to give thanks.
remembering to give thanks to God for the partnership of others. Working together in service to God, it's funny because if nobody showed up, would we do the same things that we do when everybody's here? And I know for myself, I probably wouldn't. I'm the type of person that if I really felt like God was calling me to go do something across town and I maybe didn't speak to everybody and let everybody know what was going on, but I just went. And when I got there, it wasn't what I expected. Or I'm the kind of person who would probably sit in my car and wonder and really be afraid to just step out and go, well, this is where the Lord wants me. I'm just going to go for it. But as soon as one person shows up, you're like, oh, I'm not alone. Cool, there's one more person here. See, this is the right place, right? This is where we said we'd meet here at such and such a time. And you start to feel better. And then as more and more people arrive, you're like, oh, right, God is with us. This could work. This is a good thing. And then, you know, if 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, a couple hundred people show up, you're like, let's go. We have an army. We can do this thing. And there's a part of me that never wants to forget how lonely it can be in service to God by yourself. And Paul knew this. Paul knew what it was like to be in chains for God, to be alone. And yet he never gave up faith because God had given him something. I believe that when Paul became that believer, Paul was going to do it rather he had people around him or not. And I admired that. And I think, man, maybe one day I'll be like that. Maybe I could be like Paul. I'll just do whatever the Lord wants me to do. But it's difficult to work alone. Sometimes it's difficult to work alone even when you're not really alone. But you're alone. You know what I mean? You feel like you're by yourself. You feel like Paul, maybe you're in chains at your work or your school or at home or wherever it may be. Psalm 7:15 says, he who digs a hole and scoops it out falls into the pit he has made. And I think of this all the time when it's like, I have to really know that what the Lord wants me to do is what the Lord wants me to do. Otherwise, I'm like the guy who's going to dig a pit and fall right into the pit he just dug. And that's really kind of silly, isn't it? To think about the fact that we could dig a pit, turn around, put the shovel down, turn back around, take a step, and fall right into the thing that we just dug for ourselves. And yet, without that fellowship of believers, with other people there to say, hey, watch it. Watch your step. Be careful where you're going. I think this is the importance of why God says whenever two or more are gathered there, his presence is there. But we know that's not what it takes to have the Holy Spirit with us. The Holy Spirit is always with us. But it's having that friendship. It's having that partnership. It's not going through it alone. And God's promise to us is that we will never be alone. We don't have to worry if it's a pit I've dug for myself, or if it's a pit that the devil has dug for me as a snare and a trap, if I fix my eyes upon Jesus, I don't have to worry. God is going to be there for me. He's going to be there for us. Proverbs 26:27, a man digs a pit. He will fall into it. If a man rolls a stone, it rolls back on him. The difficulty of even trying to move obstacles from our path and how careful we have to be that the very thing that we're trying not to get around or through doesn't do us in. The importance of recognizing that without God, there's so many things that I can do that are just useless and futile. But it's such an interesting idea to think that with God, there's nothing that I do that is futile. There's nothing that I do, if I do it in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that isn't worth doing. And there isn't any obstacle, no matter how big, that I can't take on with God, and then all the more with those that God brings alongside me to help me, to be with me. The joy in working together, in Malachi 3:16, it says, then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, And the Lord listened and heard, and a scroll of remembrance was written in the presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. We were laughing today talking about, we were taking pictures over at the office. And a lot of this, if you've been around warehouse ministries a long time, then a lot of the things that we're doing are very reminiscent of what happened years ago. And you know, the small building and the office space and just all of it. And we're all talking about, and we're thinking, ooh, one day people here will be talking about the first day at Touchstone offices, the first day at Touchstone Ministries. We're already starting to remember. We haven't even gotten very far down the road. Like, ooh, remember what it was like that first day? And yet I think it is cool that we want to remember the things that God does that are awesome. Because there's a lot of things that happen to us in life that aren't so awesome, that aren't of God. And they can be difficult. And I think, why not start to write a scroll of remembrance right now in my heart so that I never forget. So that when those days come, when those testings come to me, and I go, but man, I've seen God do some incredible things. Remember that, Gary. Don't let your faith be shaken. Even if I should find myself alone, which is oftentimes a very scary thing. I know that if I just hold on long enough, God is going to bring those around me to bring that comfort and that security. Oh, here comes somebody. Oh, there's a whole group over there. Have you ever had this experience when you were a new Christian? The biggest fear I ever had was when I got the time wrong. This was at the very first warehouse. And it had just so happened that they had been talking about the rapture. You've probably, if you've ever experienced this, it's kind of a terrifying thing where you show up somewhere and all the other Christians are supposed to be there, and they're not. And your first thought is like, man, maybe I got this wrong. And didn't they say over here, blah, 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 blah. And so you wait around. They're probably just late. And, you know, 15, 20 minutes, you can sweat that out. All of a sudden you're going, man, it's, I have it wrong. And I wonder, the rapture. You're like, figures, you know, there was the rapture. And yeah, I'm not in. You know, it's just that feeling of like, I wanted to be in. I thought I was in. Obviously, I'm not in. They were in. They're all gone. And it can be a scary thing when you're a new Christian because you really have this idea that, man, maybe you just missed out. And then your mind starts thinking about, man, I wish I knew the book of Revelation better because now am I one of the 144? Or am I out of that too? Because aren't those Jews? I mean, I don't know. I'm really confused. And now it's like, I could just be totally out. I could be one of the guys who wants to die and can't. And you just start freaking out over all the stuff that can, you know. Things are going to get so bad, I want to take my own life, but I can't die. Oh, that's great. What a time to not die. You know, I mean, you just... And man, fear... It's a funny thing. It's funny how it can just drive all the wisdom and all the words of God right out of your heart and mind. And all of a sudden, you can't remember the last time that God moved in a way, or you're having trouble remembering the promises of God. That scroll of remembrance to honor the Lord, what he had done for those who loved him and who feared him. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, purifies us from all sin. It's not long after you've been a Christian a long time, you start to wonder then again, the fear grips you one night about the unpardonable sin. I've heard about it. Maybe I've done it. Maybe I can't be forgiven. Maybe there's a sin that just cuts me out. And God just says, oh, I wanted you, and you were this close, and then you thought that thought or did that thing, and now you can't get in. And you just picture the doors, you know, getting latched down, and you know, all the little things that go on. You're just like, let me in, you know. It's that kind of feeling, and it's like, you can wonder, What is the unpardonable sin? Can I commit it? Maybe unwillingly, maybe willingly. And again, the fear wants to drive out of you what you know. If you love the Lord, if you want to be with God, He wants to be with you. And there is no sin that can't be erased. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, purifies us from all. I used to tell the kids all the time when I was teaching high school, how much is all? All. Not most, not some, not 99.9%. So we all have to sit around and worry about that 1.1%. But all. Because what God does, He does well. What God does, He does perfectly. As we watched this morning, for those of you who are here, as Jeff had those slides that started in space and kind of went down to the earth, and then just everything that God has made. And you just sat there and you're like, man, that's pretty amazing. God is so creative. And we are His creation, and He loves us, and He desires to be with us. I think really the only thing that can separate me from the love of God is me. Because it's up to me if I want to be with Him. It's up to me if I want to be included in His family. It's up to me if I want to walk in the light as He is in the light. It's up to me if I want to go hang out with other Christians, with other believers. There's so much of it that God says, I've got it all prepared, Gary. Now you just need to be a part of it. And that's true for us. God has laid a foundation long before we came along. But it's here, and He says, if you want to be a part of it, just plug yourself in and go. Thankfulness to God for His goodness. Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. I think Paul, sometimes maybe as he sat, maybe all alone, he felt like there were probably times when he must have felt like he was at home with all those people that he was writing these letters to. Oh, how I remember you, and oh, how I long to be with you, and can't wait to see you again. I mean, what else are you going to do when you're in prison except think about the awesome times that you've had in the presence of God with His people? So what better thing could you do than write letters that you didn't even know were going to be in the Word of God? They're just letters to people you love and care about and can't wait to see again. You don't know that God's plan is to make that a part of His New Testament. You don't know how many people, how many Christians, how many thousands, how many millions over the next millions of years are going to read these words and be encouraged because of your suffering, because of what you went through, because of your loneliness, because of your hurting, because of your brokenness. You don't even know. You're just thinking, man, I miss those Colossians, those Galatians, those Philippians. Man, I want them to know how much I love them and how much I miss them and how much I'm thinking of them right now. How much I long to be with them. And thank you, God, for giving me such great friends, people to share my faith with. And thank you, Lord, for just the awesome things that we've done for you and in your and through your strength. And that's how I feel. Thank you, God, for your people. Thank you for the awesome things that you've done and will do, and the things that you're going to do that I don't even know about yet. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your awesomeness. Man, I can so relate to what Paul was writing. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in work or in deed, do it all in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Thanksgiving is coming up, and it's a time when we typically stop and give thanks and think about all the blessings we have. There have been times when at Thanksgiving we sit around the table and somebody will say, okay, let's go around and, you know, say what we're thankful for. Now, I don't know if you've ever experienced this in your life, but you're thinking to yourself, that's a tough one. You know, it's going to go around. They're going to finish with Uncle Buck and Aunt Daisy and, you know. And it's going to come to me and I'm going to be like, you know, do I say what I really feel? Well, I'm thankful I'm not in jail. You know, I mean, because you can think of something, but sometimes you're at that place where you're just thinking, I'm not thankful for very much. I've been really having a tough time and life has been hard and blah, 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 blah. And you're like, well, that's going to be a downer because everybody's, well, you know, I'm thankful for, you know, my new kidney. You know, how do you follow that up, you know? You're like, oh, man, now whatever I say sounds really lame, you know? And yet it's one of the hardest things if you have to really try to manufacture something. If you have to come up with something that's not from your heart, everybody's going to know. But what's worse is that you already know. You're in that place where it's hard to find something to be thankful for. And I think as Christians, God wants us to write that scroll of remembrance in our hearts to him. We love him. We need to start taking and writing down the things that God has faithfully done. The promises that he's kept. The promises he's made. I know for me, I am so thankful. I mean, this is one of those years for me when it's just like, it's beyond. It's beyond. I can't even really truthfully think of a way to put it into terms. I mean, it's like God has just delivered big time in a way in my life that, and it's not just in my life. That's the greatest thing, is it's not just something that selfishly is for me. Because that's always kind of hard to enjoy too, because you're kind of ashamed to tell anybody, hey, you see what I got? And they're like, well, I don't have that. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, I'll put it away. But this is something I can share. This is something that God is doing in a lot of people's lives. And I believe it's something that he's doing in everybody's lives. And I believe that he was doing this in my life a long time ago, even when I couldn't see it. And to be honest, there's times when I feel ashamed of myself for not having more faith. But now it doesn't matter. I don't care now. Because now I'm just really happy. It's just really cool. But I do care about not getting that way again. I want to write down what God is doing, what he's done. And I want to remember him. And I hope we all do that. I'll close with 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I've read that a lot in my life as a Christian. And a lot of times it's been a bitter pill. Yeah, I know, I'm supposed to be happy. I know, I'm supposed to give thanks. I don't have leprosy. That's something I can be thankful for. You think about all the stuff you know that could be wrong and isn't. The things that really aren't that bad. I'm just having a hard time. And yet I know that God wants me to give thanks to him in all circumstances. Not just because things could be worse, but because things will be better. Things will improve. God is faithful. And he loves you, and he loves me. And if we keep our eyes fixed on him, he will show it to you and to me over and over and over again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for so many things. But most of all, God, I thank you for your faithfulness. That even when I am not faithful to you, Lord. You are faithful to me. That even when I see myself at times as not your servant, but maybe that spoiled child who's in rebellion against you, you still love me. You are still faithful. When you call me, Lord, into service to you, and like the sons in the Bible who first say, no, I won't go work in the field, and then later does, because he knows his father loves him and knows he better do what's right, Lord. I thank you for those times when I've struggled to do the right thing because it hasn't been easy. Lord, I thank you for the times that I doubted you and you proved my doubt to be a lie. I thank you for the times, Lord, when in my weakness I could do nothing more than just wait for you. And you always came. You always showed up. And sometimes with so many friends, with so many family, Lord, that I was just carried away in your presence. Lord, I pray whatever those here tonight are going through, Lord, wherever they are, I pray that in their circumstance they would give you praise. For you are worthy of our praise, Lord. As funny as that sounds, you're God and we're just your creation, and yet you are worthy of praise. So, Lord, let us give ourselves to you completely, trusting you, knowing that you can be trusted, knowing that you are faithful, and knowing most of all, Lord, that you love us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.